Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 18, the book of Acts chapter 18. We've been studying through this book together. We've come down to verse number 18, Acts chapter 18, verse 18 and following. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching down through verse number 23. Acts chapter 18, verse 18, down through verse number 23. I have been involved this week in a pastor school in Knoxville. I'm not preaching or speaking or anything like that. As a matter of fact, they asked me to speak in one of the sessions, the training sessions, and I said, if it's okay, I'd like to turn you down so I can be involved in the pastor school with Dr. Clarence Sexton. And I've been with him the last two mornings, not just me, you understand, but pastors and workers. I've been with him for about 2.5 to 3 hours a day, just in a room with him lecturing. And he is pumping us full of things. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely phenomenal. Just phenomenal. The wisdom God has given him. And he's had a lot of influence in my life. And he's still influencing me. And I'm going back down tomorrow morning, God willing, because I want to get the whole truckload. You understand what I'm saying to you? So praise the Lord for it. And excited about what the Lord's doing here. Acts chapter 18, verse 18. And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. You'll notice in these verses here that he's traveling from place to place to place to place. And tonight I'm preaching to you as we preach through this book together on Paul's continued travel. Paul's continued travel. He's just continuously traveling here. And we're going to look at him as he's traveling these different places and draw out several thoughts that we can apply to our own lives. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless this service, speak to our hearts. Bless the children in the cadets program. Would you breathe upon them, the cub cadets, the nursery workers. Would you be pleased in everything that's said and done. Speak to us in a clear voice, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, Pastor reminded us in that room today, as he spoke on preaching, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but it's such a blessing to think about it, that when you open the Word of God, God is trying to say something. I mean, he's saying something to us. And you know, it's not about what I say. It's not about what you say. But it is about what he said. And I wonder, what is he saying to us in these verses here? Every verse, every word is inspired by Almighty God. He put it in the Bible for a reason. Now, what is his reason for giving us these verses, verses 18 to 23? I'm going to share with you how God spoke to me. As we come to this passage of Scripture, we read, and we just read it, how Paul is on the move again. We read of him going into Syria. Then he came to Ephesus where he leaves Aquila and Priscilla. He eventually lands in Caesarea and then comes down to Antioch. He departs there and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia. He's just on the move, you see. Paul was a traveling man on a mission for the Lord. And during Paul's continued travels, just here as we tie ourselves down just to these verses here, we read of some things that we can apply to our own lives tonight. And as we consider these things, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to speak to your hearts and make these things real to you. These are five things tonight that can be even a life-changing thing for us. Good reminders, good application. Here we go. First of all, we notice in Paul's continued travel, number one, we see Paul's company. We see this in verse number 18. I'll just refer to the verse if you want to look at it while I'm explaining it. This verse tells us that when Paul came into Syria, he had somebody with him.
The Bible says it was Priscilla and Aquila. This is a godly couple. You know, there's something special about this phrase, with him. This tells us that he was not alone on his journey, but rather there was this godly couple who united unto him and came together with him and traveled with him on his journey to preach the gospel. Now, folks, there's no doubt that this had to be a blessing for Paul. What I mean by that is for this godly man who had suffered so tremendously, and I've learned something about the ministry. It can be lonely at the top. Leadership, a lot of times, equals loneliness. You may not understand that, but I'm telling you, when you're out in front leading, somebody's got to be out in front. And that's a lonely place at times. And there's no question that Paul is lonely. But there's something, just a great blessing here to realize that he wasn't alone all the time. And every now and then he had somebody that said, "I'll go with you." You know, it's a blessing when a sold-out Christian who is lonely and it can be hard on him, it's a blessing when they just have somebody else who just says, "I'll go with you. I'll be with you. I'll encourage you." Now, there are a couple of things here that God applied to my heart here with this thought that Aquila and Priscilla were with him. They were with him. There's a couple of things here that God really laid on my heart. Number one, this is letter A under this. The first thing is this. We learn here to take somebody on the journey with you. You know, it's one thing for Aquila and Priscilla to want to go. It's another thing for Paul to let them go. You know, one way the Lord spoke to me here is how Paul was willing to take this couple with him. You know, it's important for us to include others in the work the Lord has called us to do. Sometimes it may be easier just to do it alone, or it may be easier just to go alone. But let us realize that, let this speak to our hearts. There are still Priscillas in God's work. There are still Aquilas in God's work. What I'm talking about are those people among the congregation who love God, know God, and they want to do more for Jesus Christ. They just don't know how to do it. May I say to us who are trying to serve God, that we're in love with God, that we're trying to do something for God, let us let others come along. You know, there's nothing wrong with training somebody else to do what you know to do. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm telling you tonight that we ought to learn to take people with us. Reach out and grab somebody and show them how to do what God showed you how to do. We learned this here. Paul's company. Number one under that, take somebody with you. Number two under that, this is just how God spoke to me, tie yourself and your family to God's servants. Here's what I mean by this. Another way the Lord spoke to my heart is how it was truly a blessing. It was a blessing for Priscilla and Aquila to travel with Paul. Honestly, would you not like to travel with that man of God? I mean, what a blessing that was. What a privilege to be able to unite with this great servant of the Lord and encourage him by just being with him. You know, it's a good thing to tie yourself to the servants of God who are sold out to Jesus Christ. Get yourself and your family around those who are sold out for Christ and let them influence your life. Now, folks, I'm telling you, if you'll listen to your pastor here, this will help your family. What I'm saying to you, I want you to think right now of a sold-out Christian. It may be Preacher Lashley. It may be Mrs. Lashley. It might be your mom, your dad. I don't know who it is. I want you to think of a sold-out Christian. Whoever you're thinking of right now, it might be a preacher that you listen to on the radio. Make sure it's the right kind of one. Amen. But whoever is a godly, sold out Christian living for Jesus Christ, get around those kind of people and get your family around those kind of people. I want my son to rub shoulders with people like Dr. Clarence Sexton. One thing today, he asked me, he said, "How's your boy doing?" That blessed my heart that he's thinking about my son. I want Judson to be around Clarence Sexton. I want Judson to be around a godly man in this local church. I want him to be around. Listen to me. The devil will make sure our children are around the wrong people. And we've got to be on board and make sure that we are out in front of them, leading them and getting them around the poles of this day. I want my children around Dr. Cherian. I want my children around these missionaries we just had. That's why I spoke up and I said, these are the real heroes, because those are the ones that I want influencing my children. How about you? I'm telling you, we learned this here. Aquila and Priscilla, they had it right. They tied themselves down to the right person. His name was Paul. Number one, the first thing we notice here in this passage is Paul's company. And we learn from them that we ought to take somebody with us. We ought to be like Paul and be willing to let somebody come along. And then we ought to tie ourselves, like Aquila and Priscilla did, to people like Paul. Get associated. Get around people who know God. I cannot tell you how often I will call Preacher Lashley. I will go into his office. I'll find him back here, knock on his door, open the door, sit down and say, "Preacher, tell me something. How do you handle this? What do you do about this?" I'm not ashamed to tell you that, friends, because there's coming a day when the younger generation is going to start coming to me. You know that? And I'm not going to take it for granted that dear man of God is still in our midst, friends. I'm telling you, you ladies, I know she's hurting right now. I know it, but you ought to wear Mrs. Lashley out with questions. Some of you young ladies ought to say, "I want to get with that lady of God. Hey, Miss Lashley, how do you walk with God? How do you memorize Scripture? What, teach me something." That's missing today. That is missing today. We don't like to act like we don't know how to do something. I'm telling you right now, there are some things I don't know what to do. But that dear man of God's already gone through it. And I'll go to him and say, "Teach me, preacher. Show me what to do." He's always good about this. You're the pastor. And God's going to lead you. But if it was me, here's what I would do. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how God unites our hearts, because what I was feeling led to do, honestly, I don't remember the last time he told me something where it's like, I don't think that's right. It's good to get around people like that. That will help you if you'll listen to me tonight. Let me give you a second thing. Not only do we see Paul's company, but number two, we see Paul's consistency. We see this in verse 19. Now, here's what I mean. The second major thing the Lord pointed out to me in my study is Paul's faithfulness. It's just he was consistent. Here's what I mean. Notice in this verse 19, how when Paul came to Ephesus, where'd he go? The Bible says he entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Does that not sound familiar to you? As we're studying through the book of Acts, does that not sound familiar? Sure it does. It sounds familiar because that's what Paul did in every city he went to. Every city he went to, the Bible says he went to the synagogue. And he reasoned with the Jews. He started with the Jews in the synagogue. Now, this shows us that he was just faithful. He was faithful just to go to the synagogue, preach Christ among the Jews. He was always ready to preach the gospel, and we see his consistency here in how he did it. The point here is how Paul was simply faithful in his service to the Lord. He was simply at his post, faithfully serving Jesus. You would not have to guess where Paul would go, what he would preach when he got into a city. He was going to the synagogue, and he was going to preach Jesus Christ. You didn't even have to ask him. I mean, there was no wondering about that. You know, it is a good thing for a Christian. I'm talking about to be predictable. Predictable. I mean, we know where Paul's going. I don't know where he's going, but I'll guarantee you Paul's going to end up in the synagogue. And I tell you what he's going to be doing. He's going to preach. He's going to be preaching about Jesus Christ. You know, we cannot all do the same things. But there is something everybody can do. And that is everybody can be faithful and consistent to Jesus Christ. All can be faithful. All can be consistent in serving the Lord and pointing people to Jesus. Are you being faithful in serving the Lord Jesus Christ? There was a man in a talk, if you will, to preachers, and he caught the practical implications of consecration. Here's what he thought. To give my life for Christ appears glorious. Quoting here. Here's a quote. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory. This is what this man's saying. Goes on to say, we think giving our all to the Lord is like taking $1,000 bill and laying it on the table, saying, here's my life, Lord, I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that he sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Therefore, listen to the neighbor's kid's trouble instead of saying, get lost, or give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. I'm quoting here. Usually giving our life to Christ is not glorious. It's done in all those little acts. Those 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory, but it's harder to live the Christian life little by little by little over the long haul. I wonder today, how are you spending your quarters? Where'd you put your quarter today? Did you faithfully serve God? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Number one, Paul's company, Aquila and Priscilla. Number two, Paul's consistency. He went to the synagogue like always. He preached like always. Let me give you a third thing. We see Paul's comprehension. This is found in verses 20 and 21. The people of Ephesus wanted Paul to stay longer with them, but he did not stay. He told him he needed to go to Jerusalem. And he would return again to them, notice it now, if God will. Notice it. Verses 20 and 21, that's probably in verse 21 there. If, yes, the latter part of verse 21, but I will return again unto you, here it is, if God will. If God will. In other words, Paul had his plans. Nothing wrong with that. He had his plans to come back to them. But he understood something. He understood that the Lord may have other plans. He understood that his life was not in his hands, but his life was in God's hands. You know, we would all do well to learn this same truth. It's easy to go through life with no thought of God's will. We make our plans and live as if we'll be here forever. But we need to comprehend the truth that Paul comprehended here, that our plans could crumble at the feet of our God. Do not leave God out of your plans, but rather submit to His will. Paul comprehended this. Paul understood, yes, I have every intention to come back to Ephesus, but I must tell you, it will only happen if God wills it. What a great statement. James 4, 13 to 16 says it this way. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. I wonder, are you living life with no thought of God? The average Christian today lives in what I call practical atheism. They'll never tell you I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. But they live as if God does not exist. Practical atheism. Just going through life, making plans. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, going to do that. You're only going to do that if God wills. Amen. And we need to understand that. That's why it's important that we stay right with God. Because this could be our last day to do something for God. Are you making plans without stopping, realizing God's in control of this? My life is in His hands. And if he wills, I will. This is his comprehension. Let me give you another one. Not only do we see Paul's company and Paul's consistency and Paul's comprehension, but all of these are big. God showed me this, and I'm like, good night, that's good right there. I call this Paul's commendation. He's commending something. He's recommending something. He's excited about something. Let me tell you what it is. Verse 22, look at it. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. When he went to Caesarea, he wanted to go to the church. And the Bible says he saluted it. He saluted the church, the people. You know what the word salute means? He saluted the church. You know what it means? It means he welcomed it. He embraced it. And he enfolded it in his arms. Can I put it this way? He hugged it. I hug my wife often. I don't hug other women. I may put my arm around somebody who could be my mother or something like that, you understand? But I do not hug women. I hug my wife. If you're married, you're a married man, I hope you hug your wife. If you don't, you ought to shock her tonight and go hug her tonight. You may tell you why I hug her? Because I love her. I can't believe she's mine. You embrace what you love. You salute what you respect. It's a powerful thought. The point here is Paul loved the church. Paul respected the church. He cared about the church. His attitude towards the church is much different than the attitudes today. We live in a world today where God's people, spiritually speaking, when they go into a city, they'll salute the ball fields. They'll salute the schoolhouse. But they will not salute the church. Let me tell you something. Christ died for the church. He didn't die for the schoolhouse, for the ball fields. He died for the local assembly of baptized believers. He died for the church. We live in a state where, what I mean by state, I'm not talking about the state of Tennessee, I'm talking about just the state of people. We live in the state today where the church is de-emphasized. And that's why we're losing this country. Amen! I'm going to tell you something, I'm studying right now because I'm doing that sound doctrine series. And the doctrine I'm studying on right now is the doctrine of the local church. And God is working me over. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. May our people have the utmost respect for the house of God. God's children should have this same attitude towards the church that Paul did. We should love each other and salute one another. We should embrace and enfold the church in our arms. I wonder, let me ask you a question. How important is the church to you? Is the church something you salute, you embrace, you hug, you enfold it in your arms? Folks, we live in a day when the church takes a back seat to other things. This ought not to be. Is the church a vital part of your life? Or does it take a back seat to other events? Brother Bob, every teenage parent needs to hear what I'm preaching right here. Every child's parent needs to hear what I'm preaching right here. I grew up on the ball field. I've been there. And I wish to God I could go back and change some things. I was not in the youth group. I was not involved in this local church the way I should have been. And God has shown me there's a better way. And the better way is this. If there's a ball game and church is going on, say, Coach, God bless you. We are going to church. That will please God. That is missing today. Say, well, I'm going to lose my kids. You're training them to lose them anyway. You're training them that, listen, if nothing else is going on, go to God's house. But if something else competes, God understands. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. Now you say, Brother Jody, maybe you shouldn't go to a pastor's conference. It's got you fired up. Amen. It's got me fired up. And you know in your heart, I'm telling you the truth, friends. You know the Holy Spirit of God is saying amen to that. Amen. That's exactly right. Now I'm telling you, we have got to do a better job of saluting the local church. Now I salute you because you're here Wednesday night. I know what you're thinking. I should have held this for Sunday morning, shouldn't I? Maybe I'll re-preach it, you know. And I'm telling you, thank you for being, this is right. This is right. God planned this. Somebody says, well, why do you have Wednesday night church? Why not? What's the big deal? We need more church, not less of it. God help us with this. He saluted the church. It was a vital part of His life. He went and said, amen. That's Paul. We can learn some things from him. Let me give you a final thing here. The final thing is what I call Paul's confirming. This is found in verse 23. Notice it. After he had spent some time there, he departed, went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order. Notice this now, strengthening all the disciples. That word strengthening means to confirm. That's where I get his confirming. That's what the word means. He confirmed them. It means to support further. Now the Bible says he went over all the country of Galatia and all the country of Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And again, that word strengthening means to confirm or to support further. It's been said that Paul covered hundreds of miles to strengthen the brethren. Oliver Green said it this way, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel with a fervor and clarity that reached men for Christ. He was an ardent and faithful soul winner, but he was possessed of more than a burning desire to see men saved. Now, he had a burning desire to see men saved, but his burden was more than that. He longed to see them grow in grace and reach upward toward maturity in their spiritual life. Paul constantly encouraged his converts to walk as believers should walk. He carried a great responsibility for other believers, especially those who had been saved under his ministry. You know, this is another place in this book. You know, as I was in that pastor school today, it's just amazing how God just points things out to you while you're preaching and says, yeah, you remember that from this morning? You remember that from this morning? Pastor was talking about preaching this morning, and he's talking about you just open the Bible and preach to the Bible, and God's going to have you repeating things. There's going to be things to repeat because God's repeating it throughout the books. Well, one of these repeating things throughout the book of Acts is this thought here that when somebody trusts Christ, somebody needs to encourage them. Somebody needs to train them. Somebody needs to spend time with them. This shows the importance of helping believers become all that God desires them to be. We are not only to get the gospel to the world. That should be a burning desire, get the gospel to the world. But we are to take time to support those who accept Christ as their personal Savior and help them grow in the Lord. This is time consuming. It's hard work, but it's absolutely necessary. By the way, discipleship is not just a program. It's a way of life. You understand the difference? Now, we've written a program, but that's just to get them started. It's the Stepping in the Light program. That's trying to get them connected to this local church, get them the habit of coming to this local church, get them the habit of coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, teach them some just generalities. But that's not once they get done and we award a certificate, that doesn't mean he's a disciple, he's done. No! We're all going through discipleship tonight. This is discipleship. Every time I preach, all we're doing is learning how we can be a better Christian. Amen or not? I mean, every Sunday school lesson, every child lesson, the Cadets for Christ, they're going to be taught a lesson. You know what that's called? Discipleship. We are training people. We're helping people to learn what God says and give your life to what God says and do what God wants you to do. That's all we're doing. One man said, what the infant churches on the mission field need is teaching. The young believers need to be rooted and grounded in the truth. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means make disciples, win them to Christ. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is the full commission of Christ. We must follow it completely to get the job done. See, there are churches who are very good at going, but it stops there. There are other churches who try to put the emphasis on teaching, but they don't go. It's got to be balanced. We must go, we must win, we must baptize, we must teach. It takes all four. Now, as we look at these verses together, there are five major thoughts that we've looked at. As we follow Paul, just in these verses, 18 to 23, we've tied ourselves down just to those verses. And Paul's going from place to place. He's just continuing to travel. Paul's continued travel. And as we watch him just continue to travel, we learn some great lessons. Let me go back over them. Number one, he had a godly couple with him. He had company. And we ought to learn from that to reach out and let somebody go with us. But then we also ought to learn from that, let me find a Paul. Let me get myself around somebody who can help me. Let me get around somebody who's sold out to God. I'm going to tell you something, that's what our children need. That's what our teenagers need. They need to be pointed to the sold out Christians. Get around them. Have them over to your house. Invite them over to eat and say, talk to us. Talk to us. Hope I don't embarrass him. Sometimes I'm willing to embarrass people. You ought to have somebody like a Jack Mosier and Virginia Mosier. Go up to them. Let them teach you about God. Let them teach you what God's taught them. I'm going to tell you something, friends. There's something to that. Are you with me tonight? There's something to it. Sold out Christians are so few far between. But when you find one, get around them. Amen. Hey, my heart's out on the pulpit to you tonight. I'm preaching my heart out to you tonight. Because I want you to be all God wants you to be. And you can be if you surround yourself with Paul. Let Paul influence your children. Let Paul influence your, I'm talking about your grandchildren. Let Paul influence you. Don't be so proud to say, well, somebody needs to come to me. Let me teach them something. No, that'll come in time. Why don't you swallow your pride and say, why don't you teach me something? How do you walk with God? How do you read your Bible? How do you make a visit? Will you let me go with you sometime? Would you take me with you? I don't want to do any of the talking, but would you let me go watch you do it? I'm going to tell you something, friends, there's something to that. That's number one. Number two, he was faithful in his service. He just was consistent. There's something about a faithful Christian. Just keep going. Don't stop. Just be consistent. Number three, he understood his life was in God's hands. He wanted to go back to Ephesus, but he realized only God could will that. His life was in God's hands. Number four, he loved and respected the church. He saluted it. Spiritually speaking, when you think of the church, you ought to look like this. You're saluting it. You respect it. You love it. And you're going to be part of it. And then number five, he took time to support believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I'm just speaking for myself. That's a powerful portion of Scripture right there. Amen. That is a powerful portion of Scripture. And God can use that to help this church be a stronger church for the glory of God. Amen or not tonight? This is Wednesday night. And I'm preaching my heart out to you. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, would you bless this? Would you help us tonight to see this? Not only see it, but to act upon it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, what is God saying to you? Fooey on what the preacher says. What is God saying? What did the Lord say to you from these verses? These are not my verses. This is not my word. This is the word of God. God is speaking. And he's sharing with us tonight that we do not have to be alone. And we can surround ourselves with people of like faith. He is teaching us tonight that if we can't do everything, we know it. But one thing we all can do is just be faithful. He's teaching us tonight that we ought to submit to his authority in our lives. And stop being a practical atheist, living as if he doesn't exist. But realize that your plans are in subordination to his plan. And you will if he will. He's teaching us tonight that we ought to love and respect the church. We ought to salute it. It ought to be a major part of our lives. We ought to make sure we're in it, serving God in it and through it. He's teaching us tonight that we ought to strengthen each other, support each other, confirm one another. Be a blessing to each other. I wanted tonight, as they began to play through softly, first of all, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? If not, come and let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you about finding a Paul. Or maybe he's speaking to you that you are Paul and you need to reach out and find an Aquila and Priscilla. You need to take somebody with you. Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight about just keep your hand to the plow. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Just be faithful. Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight about living in submission to his will. That you have your plans, but you need to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Say, God, here's my plan, but I realize my plan is in subordination to your plan. Show me your will, and if you be willing, help me to be willing. Or maybe God's speaking to you about loving and respecting the church. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not talking about this church per se, but I'm just talking about the local church in general. You are sitting in the greatest place in all the world. God established it. The Lord died for it. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Have you lost sight of it? The importance of the local church? You want your children and grandchildren to grow up hearing preaching of the truth of the Word of God in the children's programs, the teen program, in here in the pulpit, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know it would be a blessing tonight for some of us just to get on our face and thank God for the local church. Thank you, God, for establishing it. Thank you for establishing a place. The church is not a place, it's people. We understand that. But it's people that come together in a specific location. It's the location. Thank God for our location tonight. Some of you, right now, won't you get out of your seat just to come and thank God for the local church. I want to thank you for the local church. Come now, come now. I want to thank you for the local church. May it be a major part of my life. May it be a major part of my family's life. May we salute it. May we embrace it. May we hug it. Or maybe God's speaking tonight about strengthening a believer. Whatever it is, just obey the Lord. May Brother Gary begin to sing. Father, would you take it and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Some have responded. Why don't you respond if God calls you to do it as he sings? Come now, would you please?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Playing through softly, the Lord is speaking.
If you take out your prayer list tonight, turn to the missionary section. Let me give you a couple of specific things to pray for as we go to prayer momentarily. First missionary is Stephen Trail family. They're in the Middle East, and right now they're in Afghanistan, and they'll be traveling back, and then they're traveling to Iraq here in the very near future. Let's pray that God would really show them his will as they go to Iraq. And then also their visa renewal is coming up in May. And they don't think there should be any problems, but they do ask us to pray that that would go well and they'd be able to get their visas renewed. Secondly, Rolando and Mede, they're in Cuba trying to minister to the Jews in Cuba specifically, but also to all the folks in Cuba. And Des mentioned that, and I think this was the last prayer letter, the oldest Jewish man in Cuba, he led him to the Lord and recently was able to lead his son, who's a well-known doctor, and his son's wife and nephew to the Lord, so that was exciting. They are working to reach out to all the uttermost parts of the island, and what they're doing, they're buying motorcycles and things like that and giving them to missionaries, and so the missionaries can travel out and reach distant areas and then travel back. And so be praying. It's called Reaching Out to the Uttermost. And then finally, Valente and Kathy Hernandez ministering to Spanish-speaking people. And they've been traveling all over the place. They're doing some book writing. They ask us to pray they'd be able to get these books printed and done. Some are music books, training books for a chorus book, things like that. And then they are trying to minister to other missionaries as they have been on the mission field for many years now. So let's pray for the Hernandez family also.
If you'll keep your prayer sheet out, I'll give you some prayer requests to write in. This is the second Wednesday night, so we stay in the auditorium together tonight. So let me give you some special requests here. One of them is the Judith Grana family. Miss Judith went home to be with the Lord this week. And those arrangements are, it's here Friday from 12 to 2. Visitation right here in this auditorium, 12 to 2 this Friday. The funeral will be at 2 o'clock. That's right here in the auditorium. That's Judith Grana's family. Brother Larry Rourke is in the hospital. We want to pray for him. He's at the John City Medical Center. Obviously, those who have cancer, we're praying for them. Do write down Chuck Edens as well. I understand he's got a procedure coming up. We want to pray for him. The Lord will touch him. My grandmother, that's Betty Jenkins for you all who want her name. I know her as Ma. Not grandma. She may slap me if I call her grandma. Just ma. And she has a heart problem. And they're trying to figure out what to do about it. There's a valve. I'm going by memory here, so forgive me here. But my understanding of it is there's a valve that's kind of dead. And it can cause some fluid buildup. I think congestive heart failure is the terminology that they're giving it. She goes to a specialist apparently sometime here. I just talked to her right before church, and she's requesting prayer. At one time, they said it would only be open heart surgery. She's not going to be able to do that, I don't think. But apparently, there's another procedure that they're able to do, and she's requesting prayer that they'll be able to show her what to do there. Okay? So I appreciate you praying for her. Write down the India church planting. Being with Dr. Cherian has stirred my heart again. And we've got all this money there that we're trying to get to India for church planting. It's supposed to go through Dr. Cherian for church planting. And this money is being that we voted on tonight is going for these evangelistic teams. And he told us that, my understanding of this, Brother Harry, is the goal is to establish churches in some of those places. So that justifies sending that to those evangelistic teams because the goal is church planting there. We're excited about it. And we're trying to unite with him to plant as many churches as possible over the next several years. And God's blessed us with this financial gift that we're able to do this. And that's not faith promise. That's a separate gift. That we cannot touch it except for India and church planting there in India. So praise the Lord for that. Okay? I want to go ahead and share this with you as well. We are looking at trying to do some renovation work. And this is just some things that I've been praying about this for a long, long time. This educational wing and things like this. I'll give you details on this later because the church would have to vote on it anyway. But I want the church praying for it before I share some things with you. I believe that'll be an appropriate thing. I want you to know tonight that when I share these things with you about this renovation that's in my heart, that I have prayed for years about it. Not days, not months, years. And I've been walking very slowly. And God just keeps confirming, keeps confirming. Hope you're excited about it. I'm excited about it. And I want you praying about it. God willing, it'll be in the near future. Now, when I say the near future, I do not know what that means. In other words, I'm not going to put myself in a box, you understand, but it should be within the next several months or so where I'll begin to share some things with you about my burden for children. And trying to do some things and all of this. I think it's an appropriate thing. But I want you praying about it. I don't want to just get up here and then start talking and say, I didn't know anything was going on about that. I want you praying and praying that God will guide your pastor and deacons, that the Lord will solidify his will and everything else. I'm going to share this story with you here just to show you how God works. I've been praying about it for years. Had not shared one thing with Preacher Lastly, nothing. And one day, this has been several months ago, I was out in the lobby, just out here by myself, and here come Preacher Lastly. Just me and him. And he grabbed me and he said, Brother Jody. He said, Now, Brother Jody. And he pointed at that building that I've got my mind on, you know, we want to try to renovate and so on. He said, something needs to be done about that building right there. I don't even think he knows what that did for me. If anybody on planet Earth could have said something that means the most to me about that, it was Preacher Lastly. And God sent him by my door that day. That's God, friends. The Lord's in it. And he just keeps confirming. He keeps confirming. I'm excited about sharing these things with you. But I'm not quite ready to do that yet. And I want you to pray with me. Okay? Amen. If you got questions about it, save them, because when I share it with you, you'll have more questions, all right? So that'll be good. Here's what I want to do tonight. I've been thinking about this and seeking the Lord about this, and God laid this on my heart during the meeting down at Temple Baptist Church this week. I want you to take this home and pray about these things, my grandmother and Chuck Edens and them and the Judith Grana family. But I cannot get my heart and mind off of Sarah Briggs. I cannot get my heart and mind off of her. I'm not trying to be spooky. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be spooky. Because her life is in the Lord's hands. But I'm going to use the word overwhelming. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I've got an overwhelming urge to pray for God to heal her. Now, I am not trying to put God in a box. Because God can ultimately heal her and take her home. You understand? That's in the Lord's hands. But I believe the Lord wants us to pray as a church. I want to call it for a miracle. To do what only He can do. To where when it happens, even the doctors say, it wasn't us. I feel impressed about this. Now, I do not want to set you up for a fall. I'm not saying that God is saying, you do this and I'm going to heal her. He has not told me that. But I do know He wants us to do this. Everybody understand what I'm saying to you? I want us to pray for Sarah tonight. And I want us to pray. I want us to get a hold of God. And we're begging God, if it be your will, would you touch her? Would you heal her? If you're willing. That's the message tonight from Paul, right? And if he is willing, it's a little thing for God to touch Sarah. You believe that tonight? Say amen. I hope you mean it. Because this is what he's laid on my heart for this prayer service. I want us to do this. It's a special thing when God puts something on a pastor's heart like that. He's doing something. And I think it's appropriate that her church just gets a hold of God. So I want to invite you, if some of you want to come up here to the altar and so on, you can start moving now if you'd like to do that. I'd like you to find somebody to pray with. You don't have to do this, I know that, but if you're comfortable with somebody that you're sitting around, I want you to pray with them, somebody lead in prayer. I'd like to ask our church to covenant together tonight that we have one prayer request. And that is for the healing of Sarah Briggs. Now you take this home tonight and pray through these things this week. Get a hold of God. The Lord's laying this on my heart. I'm going to go quiet for just a little bit. Let's make sure our hearts are right with God, that the Lord is hearing. I'll come back in just a moment.
If there is any gentleman who would like to stand just right where you are and pray for Sarah, you go right ahead. I'll wait just a moment, and I'll close us in prayer. If anybody feels led to do that, you go right ahead. Father, we bow before you tonight. And we bow our heads and desire to worship you because we know you're worthy. And dear Lord, I pray as our hearts are bowed before you that our hearts are right. There's nothing between our soul and you. That we are clean. We are forgiven, and you are hearing our prayers. I know, dear Lord, that you laid on my heart in Knoxville to have this special time of prayer for Sarah. And I'm trying to be obedient to you. We know that her life is in your hands. And we know that you know best. And the absolute worst thing that could happen for her is that she sees Jesus. And Lord, that is not bad at all. But I have felt impressed in my heart to pray for healing. And Lord, I know you know this, but I am not trying to put you in a box. Because we know we can trust your answer to be the best. But see our hearts tonight. I'm praying for divine healing in such a way that you receive the glory that you are worthy of. That this church will see the power of God in answered prayer with a yes. That the doctors down there, the family, even Sarah herself, would know that God is at work. Pray for a perfect peace to come upon them. A peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, we want you to know that no matter what your answer is, we want to give you praise. But we pray that you'll do this for yourself. Not just for Sarah and her family. Lord, the bigger motive is do it for yourself. Do it for your glory. Show your mighty power. Would you heal her?
Increase our faith. We believe. Help thou our unbelief. And help us to trust you. To believe you in this, I pray. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. As we leave tonight, thank you for letting me pastor you. I didn't say pester you now, and I know sometimes it might feel like that, but I am so honored. I am blessed. I am privileged to be called the under-shepherd of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I love you all. I love you. I'm here for you. Here to serve. Don't ever feel like you're putting me out because I represent Jesus. Thank God it's not me, you understand, but I represent the Lord. Aren't you glad you can call on Him day or night? And He never makes you feel like you're being a bother, right? And if I ever make you feel like you're bothering me, that is sin in my heart. I want you to know I love you, folks. Call on me. Now, don't call me at 3 o'clock and tell me that you had a Krispy Kreme donut, okay? But you call on me. We love you, my wife and I. Thank God for you. And as you go tonight, get in the habit of inviting people to church. Pray now. Pray for the renovation, all that. We cannot proceed without the church anyway, so you'll know exactly what we're talking about. I just want you praying about it. The Lord will confirm some things. And let's believe God for Sarah. Amen? Let's believe God for him, for her, and trusting the Lord for her. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. You are dismissed. I'll be up here. If somebody needs to see me, I'll be right up here. God bless you.